Hare Krishna.
So we're talking about Krishna's different items of Krishna's hairstyle, Krishna's lepa, ointments, malas, garlands. This is the udipana, the qualities of Krishna which act as a stimulant for ecstatic love. It's called the category of alambana. It's the end of chapter 26 for nectar devotion. So the chitra, or the face painting, is done with sandalwood paste and sometimes colored minerals and other colored sandalwood. All these aspects of Krishna's natural decorations evoke ecstatic love. One gopi addressed her Sakhi, "Hey Sakhi, Krishna's bodily features are so beautiful. His black is complexion. The reddish color of chewing pan enhances his beauty hundreds of times. And the curling hair on his head and the kunkum red spots on his body and the tilak on his forehead." Mandana means jewelry and ornaments. Krishna has kundalam earrings, hara necklace, chatushki, another type of necklace, valia bracelet, Anguliyaka ring, Kayura armlet, and Nupura anklet. Krishna, the enemy of Aga, always looked beautiful with his incomparable helmet, earrings made of diamonds and pearl necklace and bangles, embroidered garments and beautiful rings on his fingers. All of these ornaments can stimulate a devotee's ecstatic love. So these mandana are described, there's three, there's Ratna Mandana, Vanya Mandanan, Patrabhanga, Lata. So the first one, Ratna Mandana, which are ornaments, these are jeweled ornaments. When Krishna's jeweled crown, Krishna's jeweled earrings, jeweled necklaces, four-stranded necklace, medallions, bangles, rings, armlets, and anklets. It says that Krishna wears a ring with his name inscribed on it. It's a signet ring. It says K-R-S-N-A, Krishna. And he also has a cameo or a necklace with a painting, a small painting of Radharani contained there. And he opens a little door to this cameo and sees a beautiful painting when he feels separation from Radharani. Then there's Vanya Mandana, flower ornaments, and then Patrabhanga Lata, these are facial decorations in tilak made with streaks of musk and other fragrant minerals. And Krishna's Vanamali means one who extensively decorates himself with flowers from the forest, flower crowns, flower bracelets, etc. He explains, Rupa Goswami in another book, Radha Krishna Ganesh Deepika, explains that Krishna wears flower bracelets, flower necklaces, flower crowns, flower belts, even wears a pair of flower shoes, which are just some flowers interwoven and laced, and they cover the top and side parts of his feet. In Nectar Devotion, page 215, it says that Krishna was wearing flowers. Krishna dressed, not only in Vrindavan does Krishna dress with all kinds of flower outfits, but even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, seeing such colorful dress and garlands of different flowers, some great sages prayed. Sri Krishna is going to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, not to fight, but to bless all the devotees with his presence. And then there's other items that are mentioned separately in Nectar Devotion, page 216 to 218. The different items which stimulate ecstatic love for Krishna. And there's Krishna's flute, which we described already. It says the vibration of Krishna's wonderful flute breaks the meditation of the greatest sages. Krishna was thus challenging Cupid by advertising his transcendental glories all over the world. We described this earlier under the Venu Madhurya about the three kinds of flutes of Krishna, the Venuvamshi and Murali. Then there's Krishna's buffalo horn, which is called Shringa. Krishna used a buffalo horn as a bugling instrument. This buffalo, his Shringa, was always highly polished and encircled with gold bands. In the middle, there was a hole for playing. There's a gopi named Taravali who was bitten by the most venomous snake of Krishna's flute. In order to neutralize the poison, Taravali drank the milk produced by the buffalo horn in the hand of Krishna. But instead of decreasing the poisonous effect, it increased it 1,000 times. Thus, Taravali Gopi was put into the most miserable, poisoned condition. Nupura, the attraction of Krishna's ankle bells. Hey, Sakhi, when I heard the sound of Krishna's Nupura, I immediately started to run out of the house to go see him. But most regrettably, my superiors were present just before me at that time, so I could not go out. Kambu. This is Krishna's conch shell. Of course, there's no conch shell in Brajalila, but in Mathura and Dwarka, and it's there. And for Dwarkavasis and Mathuravasis, seeing the conch shell or hearing the conch shell, the pancha janya can stimulate their ecstatic love. So therefore, it's an udipana, a stimulant. The pancha janya is what Krishna sounded it before the battle of Kurukshetra. And when he blows in the pancha janya, the wives of the demons have abortions, and the wives of the demigods become blessed with all auspiciousness. The sound used to vibrate and circulate all around the world. Padanka means Krishna's footprints. When Krishna was coming into Vrindavan from Mathura, he saw Krishna's footprints, the Krishna Charan Chinna, on the land of Vrindavan. And this, just by seeing Krishna's footprints, Akrura's transcendental love increased so much that various sattvic bhavs sprung out on his appeared on his body, such as the hair standing up, and his eyes flooded with tears and ecstasy. He jumped out of the chariot and rolled out of the ground and began to shout, "How wonderful this is! How wonderful! Chamatkar! Chamatkar!" So he's exhibiting. First, he saw the udipana, the alambana udipana of Krishna's footprints stimulated his Madhurati, his Sakyarati, and Dasyarati for Krishna became stimulated. Then it stimulated and created bodily changes such as sattvic bhavas, tears and hair standing in and choking voice. And then the anubhavas following that were that he became mad with ecstasy, started dancing and rolling on the ground and screaming and shouting, not caring for outsiders because his bhava was inflamed. Similar feelings were expressed by some gopis on the bank of the Yamuna upon seeing Krishna's footprints. When Krishna walked on the ground of Vrindavan, the marks of his soles, the flag, thunderbolt, fish and elephant goad, and lotus would be imprinted upon the dust of Vrindavan. Upon seeing those marks on Krishna's feet on the ground, the gopis would become overwhelmed with love. Krishna's pastime places are also an udipana, a stimulant for ecstatic love. These are referred to as kshetra, holy places. One devotee said, "Oh, I have not as yet visited the wonderful places where the pastimes of the Lord were performed, but simply by hearing the name of Mathura, I have become overwhelmed with joy." Krishna's favorite plant, Tulsi, is also a stimulant to ecstatic love. Rupa Goswami writes in page 217, Krishna is very fond of Tulsi leaves and manjaris. Tulsi manjaris are usually offered to the lotus feet of Krishna. A devotee once prayed to the Tulsi manjaris to give him some information about the lotus feet of Krishna. The devotee expected that the Tulsi Mundris would certainly know something about the glories of Krishna's feet, since she is always residing there. In the 13th Udipana, as Krishna's devotees, his bhaktas, one may sometimes become overwhelmed with joy by seeing a devotee of the Lord. So the devotees themselves become Udipana, and they help one remember Krishna and stimulate one's love for Krishna. If Radharani sees Lalita, then he remembers Radharani and becomes ecstatic in love, or he sees Kundalata. Rupa Goswami writes, one gopi addressed Subal, who is one of Krishna's friends. My dear Subal, I know that Krishna is your friend and that you are always smiling and joking with him. The other day I saw you both standing together. You were keeping your hand upon Krishna's shoulder and both of you were smiling joyfully. When I saw you two standing like that in the distance, my eyes at once became flooded with tears. 14th, a special days for remembering Krishna. It's called Bhagavat Vasar, holy days. So this refers to festive days like Janmashtami and Hari Vasara, and which means Ekadasi. Sarupa Goswami says here that ecstatic love for Krishna is also aroused on the days of Ekadasi, which are other festive days in connection with Krishna. So now we begin chapter 27, which describes the Anubhavas, which are the bodily symptoms manifested when a devotee's ecstatic love is aroused. And the practical examples of Anubhavas are as follows: dancing, rolling on the ground, singing very loudly, stretching the body, crying loudly, yawning, breathing very heavily, neglecting the presence of others, drooling, laughing like a madman, wheeling the head and belching. When there is an extraordinary excess of ecstatic love, with all of these bodily symptoms manifested, one feels relieved transcendentally. These symptoms are divided into two parts. One is called shita and the other is called shepana. When there is yawning, the symptoms are called shita. And when there is dancing, the symptoms are called shepan. Before we go into anubhav, I thought we could have a small review. We finished bhivav, so just a review of what we're talking about. We're talking about these different bhavas, or ingredients, or samagri of rasa. So what is rasa? Jivadharma, this is a review. Jivadharma defines that the spiritual transformation of the heart, which occurs when rati is confirmed into liquid emotions by combination with various types of transcendental ecstasies. Srila Rupa Goswami defines bhakti ras in nectar devotion as when the sthayi bhav, which is the permanent emotion of the heart in one of five primary relationships of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, when that sthayi bhav mixes with vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, and vyavachari or sanchari bhavas, thus producing an extraordinary taste in the heart of the bhakta, it is called bhakti ras. When can one actually taste these rasas, or this bhakti ras that we're describing with all these different samagri or components? Bhakti ras can actually be tasted at the stage of bhava. At that time, a bhakta's heart becomes purified and eligible to become infused with Shuddha Sattva from the heart. Shuddha becomes qualified that his heart may be infused with Shuddha Sattva from one of Krishna's eternal associates in Braj. This Shuddha Sattva is then known as Krishna Rati, the first dawning of divine love, or Krishna Prem. When this permanent sentiment of love combines with four other ecstatic emotions, it generates the unique taste and experience of Bhakti Ras. When the Shuddha Sattva potency from the hearts of Krishna's eternal associates, like Lalita Sakhi, Ananga Mandri, Rupa Mandri, or Rati Mandri, enters the purified heart of the sadhaka, it will cause the awakening of bhava. This is bhava bhakti. This bhava matures into rasa only when encouraged or stimulated by various compelling forces or vibhavas. It says Nectar Devotion. When the five bhavas, stahi bhav, vibhav, anubhav, sattvik bhav, and vyabhichari bhav, combine, that enables one to taste bhakti ras, the mellow of devotional service in the highest degree of transcendental ecstasy. Different samagri or components. Vibhav are ecstatic stimulants. So this condition, so rasa is the condition when various emotional components heighten one's affection for Krishna to a relishable intensity. So rasa is a purvata, is astonishing, unprecedented, and eternally new taste. And vibhav are the, quote, causes of ecstasy, unquote. Anything which stimulates one's affection for Krishna, and is divided into two aspects, alambana and udipana. So alambana, these are the basic excitants or subjects in which affection is tasted, such as Krishna and his devotees. So the devotees, or the reservoirs of affection, are known as ashraya, or lovers. And the object affection is the vishaya. And that's Krishna. So the vishaya, Krishna is the stimulus for ecstatic love in the Vishaya Lambana. And the qualities of Krishna, such as his Rupa Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, Vena and Prema Madhurya, and his personality traits, Dhirodatta, Dhir Lalita, Dhir Prashant, and Dhirodatta, noble, romantic, peaceful, and haughty. The ashraya is the devotee as a stimulus for ecstatic love. The sadhaka is a practicing devotee. The siddha is a perfected devotee. Nitya siddhas or sadhana siddhas, or rather sadhana siddhas, become perfect by practicing. Kripa siddhas become perfect by causeless mercy. Udipana are objects that stimulate ecstatic love, such as Krishna's guna, means Krishna's qualities, his body, mind, and speech. Krishna's ages, Gomara, Poganda, Kaishor, Navayovanam, Jeshta, Krishna's adventures. Then 12 is Prasadana, Krishna's attire and clothing, his yuga, Chatuka, Uyishta, Nakalpa, Mandana. Miscellaneous stimulators. Now we'll begin chapter 27, Symptoms of Ecstatic Love. This is discussing the principle of anubhav. Page 219, the bodily symptoms manifested by a devotee in expressing ecstatic love for Krishna are called anubhav. Practical examples of anubhav are dancing, rolling on the ground, singing very loudly, stretching the body, crying loudly, yawning, breathing very heavily, neglecting the presence of others, drooling, laughing like a madman, wheeling the head and belching.
And these symptoms are divided into two parts, shita and shapana. When there is yawning, the symptom is called shita, and when there is dancing, it's called shapana. Anubhava is an action that results from heightened affection for Krishna, which serves to further enhance that affection. The Sanskrit word has two components, anu and bhava. As I mentioned, Prabhupada said that the bodily symptoms manifested by a devotee in expressing ecstatic love for Krishna are called anubhava. When one's eternal affection for Krishna heightens, it must be expressed in various activities, such as dancing and laughing. For example, a servant's ecstatic love heightens by seeing his master. He expresses it outwardly by offering obeisances. Offering obeisances not only expresses the servant's affection, it further intensifies and confirms it. Thus, anubhava is not merely a physical action, but an emotional component of itself, which both relieves and reinforces the excessive ecstatic love built up in the devotee's heart. Prabhupada writes, when there is an extraordinary excess of ecstatic love, with all these bodily symptoms manifested, one feels relieved transcendentally. So these symptoms, which reveal the spiritual emotions situated within the heart, are called anubhavas. When they are manifest mostly as external actions, they are known as udbhaswara. Sattvika bhavas are also known as anubhavas because they also reveal the emotions of the heart. The term udbhaswara is used, therefore, to distinguish between anubhavas arising spontaneously from sattva and those which manifest as external actions involving some conscious intention. There are two types of anubhavas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma, he describes it like this. In the pure consciousness, Shuddha Sattva of the Jiva, when Vibhav stimulates the function of consciousness, Chitta, and assists the function itself, at that time a natural wonderment by Chitta arises, which makes the heart blossom in various ways, which causes some outward transformations to become evident in the body. These external transformations, such as dancing, are called udbhaswara. And there are many types. When the heart dances, the body also begins to dance. And when the heart sings, the tongue also sings. You should understand the action of other transformations in the same way. However, the action of udbhaswara is not the original action. Rather, the anubhavas that arouse and nourish the vibhavas then spread throughout the body in the form of udbhaswara. As soon as the sthayi bhav in the heart is stimulated by the vibhav, anubhav begins its function as another action of the heart. Thus, anubhava is a separate individual ingredient. When this is revealed through activities such as singing, it is called cooling, shita. And when it is revealed through activities such as dancing, it is called throwing, shapan. There are many other symptoms of anubhava, such as swelling of the body, oozing of blood, and separation and contraction of the bone joints, which are rarely seen. The extremely astonishing anubhavas that were seen in the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such as becoming like a tortoise, are not possible in sadhaka bhaktas. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains like this. The outward expressions by which the presence of rasa is detected are called the anubhavas. Anubhava refers to particular actions exhibited externally which reveal the emotions of the heart. There are two types, shita, which means cooling, and shapana, which means throwing or propelling. The 13 anubhavas are nritya, dancing, viluntana, rolling on the ground, gita, singing, kroshana, lamenting loudly, tanumotan, stretching and yawning, hankara, making loud roaring sounds, drimbhana, yawning, dirghaswasa, releasing sighs, lokanpekshita, being neglectful of people's reactions, lalashava, salivation, atahasa, raucously laughing, gorna, swooning, hicca, uncontrollable hiccuping. Not all these symptoms have to appear in concert. In fact, one or more of these anubhavas will appear externally according to the particular nature of the rasa that is acting within the devotee. Anubhavas are defined as expressions which follow in the wake of vibhav. They're outward symptoms which reveal one's internal feelings. Examples such as smiling, singing, dancing, rolling on the ground, becoming dizzy, hiccuping, screaming. They have the same source as sattvic bhavs, but anubhav sattvic emotions can be checked if desired. A component that allows an emotion to be sensed and can include words and gestures to enhance the emotion. Anubhava means transformations produced in the mind and body due to experiencing ecstatic emotions. There are 20 divisions, 20 types in 3 divisions. One is called bhava, first transformations observed in a composed state of mental equilibrium. The second is called hab, condition where the individual by bending the neck, expanded eyes and eyebrows. And third is hela, where the breasts throb or circulation and the clothing and belt will slip. And Prem Pradeep Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains 2 kinds of anubhavas, angika and sattvika. Some persons describe sattvika anubhavas as an independent live. In fact, the essence will be the same. Sattvic bhavas, angika anubhavas, are 3 varieties. One is called alankara. These are ornaments of emotional love. Udbhaswaras, external manifestations of emotional love, and vachika, verbal manifestations of emotional love. Now, alankar, or ornaments of emotional love, there are 3 kinds. Angaja, relation to the body, ayatnaja, relation to the self, and sabhavaja, relation to nature. Angaja anubhavas are 3 kinds. Bhava, ecstasy, hava, gestures, and hela, negligence. Atyatnaja anubhavas, 7 kinds. Shobha, beauty, kanti, luster, dipti, brilliance, madhurya, sweetness, pragalbhata, impudence, audarya, magnanimity, dhairya, patience. Sabhavaja anubhavas, 10 kinds. Lila, pastimes, vilas, enjoyment, vichiti, breaking off, vibram, puzzlement, kila kinchit, Prabhupada says there's no English equivalent for the word Kila Kinchit. And then Motayita, Kutamita, Vivoka, neglect, Lalita charm, and Vikrita. So this ends the description of Alankar Anubhavas. Now there are five kinds of Udbhaswaras. Vesha Bhushara Shaitilya, slackening of the belt and the dropping of clothes and hair. Gatra Motanam, bodily contortions. Drimba, yawning. Granasya Phula Tvam, trembling of the front portion of the nostrils. From the Prem Pradeep. There are 12 kinds of Vachika Anubhavas, which come under the Angika Anubhavas. Alap, Vilap, Samlap, Pralap, Anulap, Upalap, Sandesh, Atidesh, Apadesh, Upadesh, Nirdesh, and Vyapadesh. Now the 8 types of septic Anubhavas. Stamba, being stunned. Shweta, perspiring. 3, Romancha, hair standing on end. Swarabhanga, choking. 5, Vepatu, trembling. 6, Vaivarnya, change in bodily color. 7, Ashru, crying. And 8, Pralaya, devastation. So now, what is the difference between Angika and Sattvika Anubhavas? Unless the subtle difference between Anga and Sattva is understood by consideration, the above-mentioned divisions will never make sense. Chitta, or consciousness, is the director of all Angas, or bodily limbs. The perversion of Chitta is called Sattva. In the state of Sattva, as bhavas manifest and pervade the limbs, or Angas, then by consideration of the place of their origination, those bhavas are called sattvic vikara. But all angika bhavas awaken in every limb and shine. Sattvic vikaras awaken in every sattva. So I mentioned these two categories of anubhav: shita, without strong bodily movement, and shapana, with strong bodily movement, which means propelling or throwing or tossing. Two additional shita anubhavas not described in this chapter are: one, raktodgam, which is bleeding or hemorrhaging, and utphula, swelling of the limbs. Prabhupada explains in page 222 of Nectar Devotion. Sometimes trembling of the whole body and hemorrhaging from some part of the body are also manifest in response to ecstatic love for Krishna. But such symptoms are very rare, and therefore Rupa Goswami does not discuss them. So there's a chart here of anubhavas. They're divided into shita and shapana. Shita are manifest without great bodily motion. One is gita, or singing loudly. 3 is jimbhana, yawning. 3 is shwasa bhuma, breathing heavily. 4, loka anapekshita, neglecting the presence of others. 5, lal ashrava, foaming at the mouth or drooling. 6, raktodgam, bleeding. And 7, utphula, swelling of the limbs. Now, shapana, throwing or tossing, these are manifest with great bodily motion. 1, nritya, dancing. 2, vilutita, rolling on the ground. 3, tanumotana, stretching the body. 4, Kroshan, crying loudly. 5, Atahas, laughing like a madman. 6, Gorna, staggering or wheeling of the head. 7, Hicca, hiccups or belching. And 8, Ahamkara roaring. These are also mentioned here by Vishnu Chakravartipad, that these Shepana Anubhavas are the, which are a lot of bodily movement, are propelling or throwing actions which involve hasty movements, and Shita, which have less bodily motion, are cooling actions which display apathy or contentedness. So, in the nectar devotion, these various symptoms are described one by one so we can read them. Now under Shepan, which means these are manifest with great bodily movements, the first one is dancing, nritya, page 219. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, Lord Shiva saw the beautiful face of Krishna, and he immediately began to dance and beat upon his small din-din drum. While dancing in ecstasy, his eldest son Ganesh joined him. Rolling on the ground, Vilutita. Once a gopi gave a message to Krishna that Radharani, because of her intense separation from Krishna, because of her enchantment with the aroma of his flower garlands, was rolling on the ground and thereby bruising her soft body. One gopi informed Krishna that when Radharani was singing about his glories, she enchanted all her friends in such a way that they became stone-like and dull. Meanwhile, the stones nearby began to melt away in ecstatic love. When Narada Muni was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra so loudly, it seemed that Lord Nisringadeva had appeared there. Thus, all the demons began to flee in different directions. Stretching the body, Tanumotana. When Narada was carrying his veena, he remembers Krishna in great ecstasy and begins to stretch his body so vigorously that he breaks his sacred thread, crying loudly, Kroshana. One gopi said to Krishna, Hey Nandanandan, when Radharani hears your flute, she becomes full of lamentation and fear, and with a faltering voice she is crying like a karari bird. When Shiva hears the puzzling vibration of Krishna's flute, he stares into space and starts crying so loudly that the demons become vanquished and devotees become overwhelmed with joy. Laughing like a madman, Attahasa. This is all under Shepana. When a devotee laughs very loudly like a madman, it's done out of extraordinary agitation of love within the heart. This is called Atahas. When a devotee becomes affected with this mental condition, his love is expressed through the lips. The laughing sounds coming one after another are compared to flowers falling from the creeper of devotion, which grows within the heart of the devotee. Then there's wheeling of the head, which is called gurna. One gopi told her friend, It appears that Agrari has released from his mouth a whirlwind which is acting on your head and gradually proceeding to do the same to the other lotus-eyed gopis. Belching, it's called hicca, or hiccups. Purnamasi was addressing one crying associate of Radharani. Oh, my dear daughter, don't be worried because Radharani is belching. I am about to offer a remedial measure for this symptom, so don't cry so loudly. Radharani's belching is not due to indigestion. It is a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna. I shall arrange to cure this belching symptom immediately. Don't be worried. Purnamasi's statement is evidence that ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes manifested through belching. So these are now the Shita. Some examples of Shita are described here. Yawning, Drimbana. When the full moon rises, lotus petals become expanded. Similarly, when Krishna used to appear before Radharani, her lotus flower face would expand by her yawning. Shwasa Bhuma, breathing heavily. Lalita is just like a chatiki bird, and Krishna is like a dark cloud. Lalita is compared to the chatiki bird seeking only Krishna's company. As a heavy wind sometimes disperses a mighty cloud, so all the heavy breath from Lalita's nostrils caused her to miss Krishna, who disappeared by the time she recovered herself, neglecting the presence of others. Loka anapekshita. The yagyic Brahmins left their homes without caring for their pandit husbands. Their pandit husbands began to discuss, how wonderful is the attraction for Krishna that has made our wives leave us without any care. Anyone who becomes attracted to Krishna can be relieved from the bondage of birth and death, which can be compared to the locked-up homes that were neglected by the wives of the brahmanas. In Padyavali, some devotees say, we don't care for any outsiders. If they should deride us, we still don't care for them. We shall simply enjoy the transcendental mellow of chanting Hare Krishna, and we will roll on the ground and dance ecstatically. And this way we shall forever enjoy transcendental bliss. Drooling. This is the Shita Anubhavas Lalashrava. Sometimes when Narada Muni was chanting Hare Krishna, he remained stunned and saliva oozed from his mouth. Now there's the bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gita Mala, which describes these symptoms of anubhava. This is in Gita Mala, this is song 21, anubhava. Vibhavita rati jabbe kriyapara hoyetabe anubhava hoyeto dita chitta bhava udgatiya kore bhaya suvikriya jakana je hoye tu chita nritya gita bilantana Kroshana Tanamotana Hankara Jimbanagana Swasha Hankara Jimbanagana Swasha Lokana Pekshit Lokana Pekshita Matti Lalashrava Gurnati Hekadoyata Tahasa Gatcha chitta jata sabva alankara suvai bhava Nigadita bimshati prakara Nigadita bimshati prakara Unbaswara namatar Damilya samshrana ar Fulagrana nivyari vikara Fulagrana Nivyadi Vikara Milap Vilapa alapa samlapa pralapa au anulapa apalapa sandesha titesha apadeshu padesha nirdesha obhyaya desha bachikanu bhaver bishesha bachikanu bhaver abhishesha bivavita rati jabe kriya para hoyetabe anubhavya hoyetu nita chitta bhava udgatiya korebaya suvikriya chakanache hoyetu chita.
When one experiences ecstatic love stimulated by the above mentioned udipanas, then a naturally resultant reaction occurs in one's body. This is called anubhav. It is like opening the doors of the heart, thus releasing the emotions. When the ecstasy thereby comes to the external plane, some exquisite physical reactions become visible, which are quite befitting of one's emotions revealed from within the heart. The 13 anubhavas are nritya, dancing, gita, singing, viluntana, rolling on the ground, kroshana, crying, tanumotana, stretching the body, hunkara, loud shouting, jimbhana, yawning, ganaswasha, deep sighing, lokanapeksha, complete disregard of public opinion, lalashrava, drooling, gorna, dizziness, hiccup, uncontrollable hiccups, and atahas, extremely loud roaring laughter like a madman. It is said that there are 20 alankaras, or sensual enhancements of the body and mind. One type is called udvaswara, includes letting down the hair, sniffing flowers, adjusting the belt of one's sari, and so forth. There are also 12 vachika, or verbal anubhavas, namely vilap, words of lamentation, alap, witty flattery, samlap, conversations, pralap, frivolous babbling, anulap, repeating the same thing over and over again, apalap, giving another meaning to a previous statement, sandesh, sending a message to a lover afar, atidesh, to say, his words are my words, apadesh, saying one thing to indicate something else, upadesh, words of instruction, nirdesh, to clarify, I am that same person, and 12, vyapadesh, to reveal the heart under another pretense.
Chapter 28. Sattvic Bhavs, Existential Ecstatic Love, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Second Wave, Chapter 3, Verses 1 through 96. Existential Ecstatic Love is how Srila Prabhupada translates the term Sattvic Bhav. The word sattva does not refer to the mode of goodness, but to Shuddha Sattva, which is Krishna's internal spiritual potency. Krishna's Shuddha Sattva descends into the heart when a sadhaka or devotee attains the stage of Bhava Bhakti, and then, by contacting that Shuddha Sattva or pure internal potency, spiritual potency of the Lord, it energizes one's dormant love of Godhead. Sattvic Bhavs are ecstatic symptoms that arise directly from the Shuddha Sattva enriched soul. Distinguishing Sattvic Bhav from Anubhav. Sattvic Bhav can also be considered Anubhav because both are expressions which result from heightened affection for Krishna. However, the two are distinct in an important way. Anubhav involves a conscious decision to suitably express one's ecstasy, while Sattvik Bhav is an unpremeditated, involuntary expression arising directly from the spiritually surcharged consciousness. In Anubhav, one experiences devotional ecstasy and thinks, quote, "Let me dance," or, quote, "Let me sing." The expression in Anubhavs, the ecstatic expression, is willful and voluntary. In Sattvik Bhav, however, the expression is involuntary. It occurs when one's heightened affection overrides the intelligence and directly causes involuntary physical symptoms such as paralysis, standing of the hairs, perspiration, tears, etc. Sattvik Bhav is an involuntary physical symptom occurring when emotions in the primary or secondary mellows intensely overpower the heart. Prabhupada explains on page 223 of Nectar Devotion. When a devotee is always intensely affected by love for Krishna in a direct relationship with him, or even a little apart from him, his status is called existential ecstatic love. Prabhupada's quote establishes two things. One, Sattvik Bhav is a uniquely intense Anubhav. Two, Sattvik Bhav may arise from emotions in one of the five direct relationships, or it may arise from emotions in one of the seven indirect relationships, which means the Mukhivrati and Gonarati. Jayavardhana explains that the word sattva refers to the chitta, which is the pure heart or consciousness that is stimulated by any bhava in relation to Krishna. Either directly or with some obstruction. The bhavas that are born from this sattva are called sattvika bhavas. There are three types of sattvika bhavas. Smooth, which is called snigda, smeared, which is called digda, and rough, which is called uruksha. Krishna Chakravarti part, he explains a little bit about this. When the heart of a bhava or prema bhakta is overwhelmed with emotions in relationship with Krishna, this condition is called sattva, pure goodness. The bhava, or emotion that arises from that sattva, is called sattvika bhava. The sattvika bhavas arise spontaneously from sattva, without any conscious intention, and they are distinguished, therefore, from the anubhavas, known as udbhaswara, such as singing and dancing, which also arise from sattva, but with some application of the will. The snigda, sattvic bhav, has two divisions, mukya, primary, and gona, secondary. Mukya snigda sattvic bhav occurs when mukya vrati, that is directly in relation to Krishna, overpowers the heart. Examples of this are becoming stunned, perspiring, and so on. Gona snigda sattvic bhav arises from an invasion of the heart by Gonarati when Krishna is at some distance or there is some obstruction. This includes fading of bodily color, vaivarnya, and faltering of the voice, swarnabhed. Smeared or digda sattvic bhav arises when any bhav other than the function of mukhya rati and Gonarati overwhelms the heart.
Trembling is an example of digdha, smeared sattvic bhavs that follow on from rati. Sometimes when someone who only appears to be a bhakta hears about the extremely wonderful and sweet bhavas of Krishna, he becomes astonished and experiences elation, although actually has no rati. This is the third type of sattvic bhava, which is known as rav, ruksha. This is seen when the hairs of the body stand on end, romancha. Ruksha sattvic bhava is also known as ratyabhas. So the three types of sattvic bhavas are mentioned in nectar devotion. The symptoms originating from such existential ecstatic love are divided into three headings: moist, burnt, and dried up. Snigdha are moist, ecstatic symptoms in persons who love Krishna, instigated by emotions arising from either the direct or indirect mellows. So these are the causes. Digdha are burnt, ecstatic symptoms in persons who love Krishna, is not instigated by the direct or indirect mellows. Ruksha are dried up, ecstatic symptoms that seem to appear in those with no Krishna Rati. There's a footnote here. Snigdha literally means oily, tender, and affectionate. Therefore, Nectar Devotion says moist. Digdha means smeared or burnt, and Ruksha means dried up. So moist existential ecstasy, snigdha sattvic bhavas, there are two divisions: mukya snigdha, direct moist, and gona snigdha, indirect. Mukya snigdha occurs when a direct mellow, such as shanta, dasya, sakya, etc., causes the emotions that overpower the mind. Gona snigdha occurs when an indirect mellow, gona rati, such as hasya ras or adbhuta ras, laughter, astonishment, causes the emotions that overpower the mind. Mukya snigdha, this is direct or moist. Radharani was weaving a garland of kunda flowers, and upon hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, she immediately stopped her work. Stopped her work indicates the sattvic bhava stambha, becoming stunned. This ecstatic symptom was caused by the flute, which is an udipan of the direct mellow called madhura rati. Radharani's ecstasy exemplifies the mukya snigdha type of sattvic bhava because it manifested due to emotions arising from one of the direct mellows. Gona snigdha, indirect, moist. Yashoda vehemently rebuked Nanda Maharaj when he took Krishna to Mathura. Out of extreme anger, she reprimanded her husband so severely that her voice began to falter. Faltering voice is a sattvic bhava known as swarabhed. This ecstatic symptom manifested from emotions in one of the seven indirect mellows, krodha. Therefore, Mother Yashoda's ecstasy exemplifies the gona snigdha type of sattvic bhava. Burnt existential ecstasy, digdha sattvic bhava, explained on 223. These are ecstatic symptoms in persons who love Krishna that are instigated by neither the direct nor the indirect mellows, mukya or gona rati. Once at the end of night, Yashoda dreamt that Putana was lying on the ground in a dreadful form. Upon seeing her, Yashoda awoke, trembling. Her mind being agitated, she began to search for her son Krishna. Fear in relation to Krishna is an indirect mellow. Yashoda's fear, however, was in relation to Putana, not Krishna. Consequently, it is not an indirect mellow. Yet because her maternal affection for Krishna is so deep, she naturally dovetails her every emotion with her relationship with Krishna. The fear initially instigated by Putana was immediately dovetailed with her affection for Krishna, and thus she trembled out of ecstatic motherly concern for Krishna's safety. Yashoda's trembling kampa is thus an example of digdha sattvic bhava. dried up existential ecstasy, ruksha sattvic bhav. The first two types of sattvic bhavs, namely snigdha and digdha, are exhibited by devotees with genuine affection for Krishna, Krishna rati or bhav. Ruksha sattvic bhav occurs when ecstatic symptoms appear in persons devoid of genuine affection for Krishna. An impersonalist, for example, may hear that those who practice devotional service easily achieve liberation, and he may therefore, in a consequent, join a kirtan party. Jubilantly dancing with hair standing on end, he thinks, "Now I will achieve liberation, now I will achieve liberation." Affection for Krishna is not the cause of these symptoms. Therefore they are ruksha sattvic bhav, dried up. Another example is the trembling and standing up of the hairs of the sannyasis who witnessed Mahaprabhu's delivering prakashan to Saraswati. Because they had no rati, their bodily symptoms were ruksha sattvic bhavs. The eight sattvic transformations are becoming stunned, stumbha, perspiration, swayed, perpilation, ramancha, faltering of the voice, swarnabed, trembling, vipatu, transformations of the bodily kaldar, vaivarnya, such as dirtiness and thinness, which occur due to emotions such as despair, fear, and anger, shedding tears, ashru, and devastation, pralaya.